listening to Radio Albion. Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. We're live on Rumble, Odyssey, and Entropy. Please do share the streams. Get them out on X, where we're not allowed to be. And I probably sound happy, but rather hoarse and maybe look slightly tired. I'm actually more tired because the clocks have changed. So I understand that some people will be like, everything's at a different time, or having a few difficulties. And look, Steve Laws was meant to be here tonight. He might still be here tonight for some of the stream, but because the clocks have changed, you know, your kids wake up at the same time that they did the previous day, but that is at totally the wrong time because of the clocks changing. And because of that, I know my kids are running around downstairs because they feel like it's 7 o'clock and they're like, oh, we've got another half an hour, but it's actually 8 o'clock and they should be in bed by now. I'm sure Laura's going through the same thing. And Steve's just putting the kids to bed, having a few issues. Hopefully he'll be here. If he's not, don't worry, there's not been any big fallout or anything. Steve is just putting the kids to bed. Now, look, if you can share the stream, that would be appreciated. And also, if you'd like to contribute to our work, you can do so via Entropy and Rumble. Anyone who sends a paid super chat will have their comment or question read out live on the show at the end. We'll answer any questions at the end. All contributions are gratefully received. And remember, this is what makes us different from other content creators. A lot of people, they sit online, they produce great content. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're actually out in the real world as well. And you can see, we've got some, you know, images that we're going to show tonight. We're going to talk about the speeches. We're going to talk about the atmosphere. Very few people who create content on a regular basis also are out active on the streets, organizing, bringing people together. So please do consider giving a donation if you can afford it. It's very much appreciated. The Rumble links are obvious. You just click the little, I don't know what it's called. There's a little button anyway on Rumble, but there's also a button in both chats to take you to Entropy, and you can donate through there at any time. And remember, if you're watching this on replay, you can also donate at any time on replay. You can also donate via crypto. All the crypto links are in the description below. And finally, you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com if you want to get involved, or if you have any feedback, or if you're at Nuneaton and you've got something to say to me about it, or for any other reason, really. I'm always here for people, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Anyway, I think it's fair to say yesterday was an absolutely massive, massive success. I had a really, a little bit stressful at times, but a very, very good day. In the end, it all went off almost without incident. And I came home feeling really good. I mean, me, Laura, Sam, and another activist drove home together. And we were just saying what a wonderful day we had. And I've got to say, first and foremost, thank you to everybody who turned up. If you were one of the people who made the journey, thank you. We're going to do some special thank yous in a minute to everyone who took part in the day. We'll go through those in a second. But first, how are you doing, Laura? This is your second big demo of the year, as it was with me. It was your husband's first big demo of the year, and it's the first time you've traveled to a demo with Sam for a good few years, isn't it? So it felt like a really special day. I know there's lots of groups involved, and we're not saying it's all about PA, but for, I mean, obviously, I'm very close friends with Sam. You're Sam's wife. And for us, for PA, it felt like a really, really special day. Going down there with Sam, didn't it? Like the return of Sam, well, for me, it was a big thing. How do you, you know, are you in a good mood? How are you feeling? Are you tired? I hope you're well. I'm probably rambling a little bit. I'm still sort of like running on fumes after such a busy weekend. It was so good, but I really had a good day, and I hope you did too.
Yeah, it was really good. And obviously, you know, Sam's not been able to do anything for the last 2 years. So it was our first demo together again for 2 years. So up until this point, I've been getting to demos by myself. So I passed my driving test like a year and a half ago and just driving there and back by myself. And it was just so good to have him with me again, because these situations, you're always sort of a little bit hypervigilant of what's going on around you. And is it a counter protest? Is it kicking off with the police? That kind of thing. And just to have basically my bodyguard there again, my bodyguard and husband, it was much more relaxing having him back again. And there was no counter demonstration yesterday either. We were totally unopposed. Oh, there was one guy who turned up with a little sign. So it was a much more relaxed atmosphere, because I think when there is a counter protest, some of our guys like to wind them up a little bit and they'll go over and get, you know, cheeky photos or little debate clips. But not having them there at all, the focus was 100% on the message, as it should be. So because of that, it was much more relaxing as well. And it's just so great to see everyone. You know, I left just thinking, what a good group of people. I don't even just mean the people from Patriotic Alternative, but the people from the other groups who we're really starting to get to know now and form relationships with. Obviously, we'll go through the groups that were there, but the lads from, is it White Vanguard?
Yeah.
They were there, and they get a bad rep online. I don't know much about them, but my experience with them on a personal level, they're such a nice group of guys, you know, so polite and respectful and follow our code of conduct when they attend our events. And yeah, it was good to see them again. So it was really good. And I left, I drove on the way there and Sam drove on the way back. So I got to have a bit of a rest. And as we were driving home, the sun was setting. So I was watching the sunset and watching all the wildlife in the fields, you know, the rabbits running about and foxes and stuff. And it was just a really nice end to the day. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'll talk a bit more about my experiences in a second, but I want to say some big thank yous first. Now, first, I'm going to run through everything and Laura's going to correct me if I've missed anybody. Now, the first guy I would like to thank, or the first group of people I'd like to thank, is Joe Marsh and his security team. They were there really early. They secured the spot, as they always do, and no one's moving those guys. So you can never be sure if there's going to be a counter demonstration or if somebody's going to try and squat your site. We've had assurances from the police in the past that people won't, and then a big mob have turned up and ended up like nose to nose with us. But having Joe there, he's absolutely priceless. He's a real workhorse and no one's moving that guy. So thank you to Joe and his security team. Also, thank you to the gentleman who offered to do close protection for us. And he was following us around, making sure we were looked after, making sure that when we were going through the crowd, dealing with the police, talking to all sorts of people, the general public, no one was there to throw anything on us. No one was there to jump us or try to humiliate us in any way or assault us. So thank you to him too. I would like to thank the audio guys. Basically, they were absolutely fantastic. So those who attended Warwick will have noted that Warwick was a very good demo, but we were using a loud hailer, and we've always used a loud hailer in the past. And personally, I quite like using the loud hailer because it looks authentic, doesn't it? That's a proper protest. It's normal people out with a loud hailer. It looks good. But when the opposition turn up and they've got speakers and an amplification system and a proper microphone and everything, they can drown you out. So two really, really great guys. I'm not going to name them, obviously, who one of them has done a lot of work for PA in the past. He's an amazing guy. I know him, a good friend of mine. And another guy who's new to us, really, they collaborated and they brought with them an amazing speaker system. So this time you'll see we had everyone was sort of properly mic'd up, and we also had a microphone in our hands, and it was a lot easier. You weren't having to shout. We didn't have to compete with anyone because there wasn't any sort of meaningful counter demonstrations, but it was a lot more professional and people could hear everything this time. There was no complaints that we were drowned out. So thank you to the audio guys. The next big thank you I've got to say is obviously to the other AV guys, specifically the video teams. The PA video guys, especially SK, worked round the clock to get the videos ready. Now, we've had complaints in the past that it takes like a week to get the videos out. Well, all the speeches are ready. We edited them all for Steve, for Hugh, for everyone who was a speaker, and we got them out. And that was largely the work of our AV team. But one guy, a guy we'll call SK, he was up late at night working on those videos, and to have everything turned around, you know, sort of within 12 hours of the demo ending is incredible work. So thank you so much to all of those guys. I'd also like to thank everybody who came and did interviews with us, because there was loads of people who came with good intention to actually do proper interviews with us. And at the end, we had a bit of a, like a media scrum, and myself and Laura gave a lot of interviews. People were very, very respectful. We actually had a couple of guys who were, I think they were of Indian descent, who came there, and they were like, we're here to ask you about Zionism and why you oppose it. We gave them interviews. They were really nice. And at the end, I was like, well, look, thanks for everything. And they just said, when the mics were off, they were like, look, we really support everything you said today. You've been really respectful to us. Thank you so much. And that was really nice to hear. And there was a load of other content creators who were streaming, and there were a lot. They were very, very respectful. It was very good. And we're really happy to give proper interviews with anybody. And that worked really well on the day. So thank you to everyone who did that. We'd also like to thank all the groups and personalities and speakers who were there. We would like everyone who gave a speech. It was brilliant. I'm not going to list them all because I know I'm going to forget one. But all the speakers were brilliant. Remigration Now, thank you for being there. Obviously, we do everything sort of in partnership with them. And if Steve was here, I'd just be saying, look, cheers, mate. You know, but he's obviously not here tonight. And also a massive thank you to the other groups who came and supported us. There was lads there from the BM. There was White Vanguard. We love working with those guys. They're so respectful. People online calling them feds. They're absolutely not. You couldn't hope to meet a nicer bunch of young lads. They are so respectful when you go up and speak to them and you talk about, you know, can we do this? We're going to be really lovely guys. None of them acting up, none of them drunk, none of them misbehaving. Really, really lovely guys. Also, guys who came from other organizations, British Democrats, anyone else who was there, thank you for being there. It was really good and everyone got on really well. I didn't see any trouble. There was no scuffles, nothing like that. Everyone went down to the Wetherspoons afterwards. The place was absolutely packed. The atmosphere was electric. We'll talk a little bit about the sort of social afterwards in a minute, but it was really, really good. The feeling throughout the day was absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to say this as well. I've got to thank the police as well. Now, usually I'm not too praising of the police, but the police worked with me really, really closely before to get this right and to get us the spot we wanted in the town centre, which involved a partial road closure as well, which they can veto if they want. They were really good to us. They didn't give us any trouble. They were very polite. They explained everything. And they were very sort of praising of what we did. So if we can work like that, fantastic. And thank you to the officers there for being very reasonable with everyone. I never didn't see anyone getting into any kind of altercation with the police this time. There was no rudeness. And in the end, I think the police left and there was still a few of our guys doing interviews because they're just like, look, you've been so well behaved. We don't really need to be here now. And that's how we want to leave. You know, we don't want to leave with people being arrested. We don't want to leave with anyone sort of having, you know, troubles or bother. And there just wasn't. It was such a nice day. Laura, have I missed any? Because I have. I always feel terrible when we get to the end of the stream and somebody says in the chat, you haven't thanked person X. Because, like, I'd never do that. I never intend to be rude. But when you've got a big list in your head, sometimes you just miss people.
I don't think so. I mean, you spoke about all the separate media guys, so you've pretty much covered him in this, but there's the photographer as well who sent over the photos. Have you uploaded them to this platform to show them?
I'm going to do a slideshow in a second because we've got some lovely photographs. Mm. Our photographer who comes and he travels around. Yeah, I knew I'd miss someone. He takes these amazing pictures. We've got some pictures that we're going to show you soon of the speakers, of the sort of setup we had. And we're going to show you, we made genuine improvements at this event. And we're really proud of how far we've come. Now, look, we're not some multi-million pound Tommy Robinson arriving in a Bentley with the boot, you know, filled with bundles of cash kind of people. But we do put a lot of effort and time into making sure these events go off peacefully. And the first thing I want to say is I want to add something Laura said. There were two people who turned up two Reds that turned up to sort of oppose it. And they were basically led away by the police because the police was like, look, this is ridiculous. You know, they're not going to meaningfully oppose you. There's loads of you. They're just going to really cause trouble. And their presence isn't going to be conducive to a peaceful afternoon. Now, firstly, I've got to say this, which is a bit of an odd thing to say, but, you know, there was only two of them and they were grossly outnumbered. We probably had over the afternoon sort of 300 to 400 people come and go throughout the day. Because obviously some people come for sort of 20 minutes, 30 minutes, leave. It was a really good turnout. The weather was nice. But I mean, those guys must have had at least some guts to turn up when they know they're facing off with 300 nationalists. And it was, you know, but they did look ridiculous. And not having them there, the atmosphere was fantastic, wasn't it? Not having a bunch of idiots sort of screaming at you. So you can actually go up and talk to the public. You can do your media scrums. You can do the things you need to do. It really did feel fantastic. And the only other time we've witnessed that was when we went to Skegness that time, if you remember. No Reds turned up there. And that was a brilliant atmosphere. And I've got to say, having the day to speak to our people and to pull off an event like that, it did feel like a special day, didn't it? And for it to be Sam's sort of return event, that was even better, really.
Yeah, I know some of our guys were disappointed that there wasn't a counter protest because I think they like to sort of go and tease them a little bit. But it is just, it's just a problem that you don't have to deal with when they're not there. You can just focus on the message. I got up on the microphone at one point when we were about to start and I said, right, everyone, come back over here. Stop arguing with that one lefty. Because everyone were going over like, what are you doing? And everyone just came back over. And I don't know if the police escorted him off or something, but they were sort of stood in front of him so no one could get to him. Just to add on a few of the things that you just said, the guy who's done the speeches, he was up until 4 o'clock in the morning editing those videos and getting them over to me and Mark so that they'd be done in less than 24 hours. So just massive shout out to him. And the guy who was doing the sound as well, he was competing with very, very, very strong wind. And at one point, one of the speakers did blow over and land just behind me. So he ended up like pulling it up and then getting like some, you know, those bungee cords and tying it around a fence so that the wind wouldn't blow the speaker over. So he was sort of struggling to try and fix everything and keep everything going. I just wanted to thank as well the people who shared the clips of the speeches and the photos and stuff online. I know that the Noticer always writes us up a really good article whenever we do a protest, and he shared the clip of you speaking, Mark, and then an article to go with it. And I also wanted to mention, you know, the interviewers that were there. I did an interview with Voice of the Valleys, which is a relatively new YouTuber. He's interviewed Sam as well, and he is really, really good. He should have a lot more subscribers than he has because he was brilliant. You know, when you do interviews and it's like the same three questions all the time, but he was really creative. And we had, I don't know him, but we had rapport. We were bouncing back and forwards. He was great. And there was do you know the name of that young girl who's got quite a big Instagram account? I didn't catch her name, but
Reality Check Chick.
She's really nice as well. And she was there and I did a little interview with her and she was really supportive as well. So, yeah. And also the quality of the speakers, I think it was probably the best one, in my opinion, because everyone who got up there was just so confident. And the points that they made were just so rapid fire and brilliant. So the speeches are up now. Even if there's someone up there that you don't know, give them a chance and listen to their speech because you will find a couple of hidden gems in there. I'm confident of it because all of the speakers were of such a high quality.
They certainly were. And we're going to show you some pictures now from the event. So there's plenty of video footage out there. And all of the speeches will be up on Steve Law's X account and the PA Telegram account. So you can check them out there. But here's some pictures from the event. This is the speakers. We've got Peter from the Northwest. He is a PA member. We've got Steve Law's there who towers above everyone else. Sam, who's usually the biggest guy in the room, but Steve is definitely a tall guy, isn't he? Then there's Laura, me. A young lad called Harry, he gave an excellent speech. I was actually shocked at how sort of powerful he was as a speaker. We've got Hugh Anthony there, and we've got John Josh Fernie as well. And he was brilliant, came all the way down from Scotland. And I've got to say, Josh and the Scottish lads who came down all the way from Scotland to support us, that's one hell of a trek. And I can't thank those guys enough to come all that way. I hope to repay the favour and travel up there and see those guys soon. And I just want to say thank you for making that incredible journey down. A long way, but it really added numbers, and it's really appreciated that they're there. So here's another picture. I mean, this gives you sort of a feel of the event. I mean, the flags, there was loads, the banners. It was all a really good, really professional day. And seeing sort of the flags and banners from PA, the home nation flags, and the Remigration Now banners and flags, it was really good. And I think a lot of people are liking this because we did promise sort of nationalist unity. I mean, what do you think about that, Laura? It is good to see so many groups there who previously nationalisms have been a little bit like a warring feudal states where each little baron wants more of the country and fights each other to try and become king, to the detriment of everyone, really. But this is a sort of feels like a new era, doesn't it? Everyone stood together, everyone getting on with each other, and no drama.
It's something that I haven't experienced in my like almost 7 years at Patriotic Alternative. Everyone just seems to be there for the right reasons. It's because they care about the message. And I said, you know, at the end when you and I got up and said goodbye, I said, we might have small disagreements, but we agree on the main issue, and that's that British people exist as a distinct group of people, and we have the right to our own homeland and a safe and prosperous future. We agree on that. So let's just work together on this most important issue. So it's really good, and they're decent people. And I feel like I said at the start of this stream, I just feel like our bonds with them are strengthening. We're recognising faces. There's quite a few women who go as well. Everyone's just decent, really.
Well, that's another important thing. I've noticed more and more women, more and more couples, and we are attracting new people as well. The feedback I got there, a lot of people came up to me, shook my hand. They were like, this is my first demo. This is the first time I've come to something. I'm really, really happy to be here. I didn't come in the past because I didn't know what to expect, but you guys seem to be taking it in the right direction. And to have so many people there who are genuine ethno-nationalists, who really, really do want to be out there, you know, face out doing something. It's really, really important. And I think in the past, it's been something sort of a little bit of a taboo for our guys to do that because our demonstrations haven't been as well organized. But now people can see it's heading down the right route. We're just going to plow ahead with this. And there's obviously going to be more of this. And we hope to continue this right on into summer. And one of the other things we want to do, I mean, me and Laura, obviously some of you people watching this might be PA, some of you people might be from other groups, but you know, we have our national camps, our national conferences, and we want to invite all the groups and all the people who are present at these sort of events to our camp and conference. You know, we don't want We want everyone to be part of this family. We want to keep growing things because I can't stress this enough, but I've been to events in the past where there's been a bad atmosphere. I've been to events in the past where you can feel a certain tension in the air, people aren't getting on right, where somebody might have said something to someone else, or there might have been little threats issued beforehand. This is common in nationalist circles, but all of that seems to have been put to bed. And the atmosphere, without sort of sounding cheesy or contrived, it felt a little bit like a carnival-like atmosphere, didn't it? Because everyone really is getting to know each other. It feels like a community. It feels like extended family, but all rallying around these important talking points.
Yeah, and there's just no... I don't feel like we're competing with each other. You know, like we'll hold each other's banners, we'll help each other, give leaflets out, that kind of stuff. Everyone's just there for the right reasons, and egos have been put to the side, and that's what's important.
So with a demonstration like this, what could we really have improved? Because I think now other than growing in number, which is where we need the help from the people watching the streams, we need more people who watch the streams to actually come out and join us. I think we've kind of hit a good stride with where we actually need to be. And I think we just need to keep this pressure up, because in a lot of these areas, and look, I want to talk a little bit about our sort of the way we do things, because this is very important. So a few people have said to me, look, Mark, why aren't you going to the big cities? Why aren't you going to places like Manchester? So Britain First, they've got this massive mailing list. They've got a big social media reach. They go to places like Manchester. And I'm not saying I don't want to reach the white people in Manchester. But when you go to a place like Manchester, it is a place where whites are already a minority. And you kind of end up marching through an area where most people who are looking at you actually would never vote for you or never actually want to be a part of what you're doing, because they're not us. Now, you might say, well, you're going to these smaller areas like Nuneaton, you're going to smaller areas like Warwick, but we are going to places that are white, traditional areas where we can actually reach the public. So our aim is not to go to an area where there's going to be confrontation. It's not to go to an area where we're going to be outnumbered. It's not to go to an area where, well, Manchester's a big central hub, so maybe you'll get 100, 200 extra people there. It's to go to areas where they can still be saved. So one of the things with a place like Nuneaton is you walk through, and Saturday is still a traditional market day. It's still a day where essentially white British market traders are out there making a living, and the locals come out to support them. And that kind of community is a place where our message will resonate, because our message is one of community, it's one of traditionalism. And we're not doing this to do something like Tommy Robinson. Now, Tommy Robinson, great numbers. He might put 250,000, 300,000 on the street, but it's in central London. It's not actually taking the message really to the public. You're going into the most diverse, multicultural, almost hostile environment, and you listen to the speeches and you go home. But our people were moving through the city centre. They were handing out leaflets. They were talking to normal people. Groups of the public were coming over. I ended up speaking to a group of about half a dozen to a dozen youngsters who came over. They're only teenagers. They came over and said, what's all this about? I was talking to them, and they were like, yeah, we support that. That's good. You know, we know what went on in this town. And I think it's important that rather than shooting for the moon and going for these massive numbers or these confrontational demonstrations, that we target places that will actually be receptive to our message and where there's a lesser chance of that confrontation. So like going into Birmingham, who are you actually going to be speaking to? I mean, what do you think to that, Laura? Because you and I have been out in places like Castleford, Pontefract. We've been out in places where they are traditional former white working class areas, you know, coal mining areas, small towns. And that's the place where we seem to get on with people the most.
I just need to update that James, our very talented sound gentleman, has just messaged me and said that we shouldn't call him the guy who does the sound. We should call him James. It's okay to say his name. So sorry about that. It was just for security reasons. We didn't want to dox your name. But yeah, we go to places where we're going to reach normal people who care about the issues that we care about. And just to give one example, there was a lady who came to chat with me yesterday, and she said, oh, I live 2 stops down. So I thought, I saw the demo posted online, I thought I'd come down. And obviously we chose Nuneaton because of what happened with the 12-year-old girl who was raped near Nuneaton Park. And that was by an asylum seeker, an Afghan national who'd been in the country for less than 4 months. And this lady was talking to me and said, I just can't not do something. She said, I've got a 13-year-old granddaughter, and it could have been her. So and we were chatting. I said, yeah, I've got two daughters. You know, I'm concerned about what's going to happen to them as well and their safety. And they're just... Everyone who attended is just a normal person, just a normal British person who doesn't like the way that the country is going and is worried about the safety of their family members and their children and their grandchildren. And those are the people that we want to reach, because we're the same. You know, we're also just normal family people who are worried about those things. So, yeah, we're very, you know, tactical with the places that we choose, because we want to reach white people who believe that they're affected by the same things that we believe, and we can connect on that issue.
And that's the important thing. Like, we want to transition this away from the old style protest movement, and the old style protest movement became a movement that actually looked for a degree of confrontation. It looked for that sort of, we're out there, here's Big Sam. We're out there, you know, we know that there's going to be a kickoff. We know there's going to be that thing where we're shouting at the left. And we've tried to move it away from that. We saw how much better it was when we did that in Skegness years ago. Now, that really was the template for the perfect demonstration. We got there. There was about 400 people there. They were all in the park. Everyone was listening to the speeches. And at the end, talking to normal families, free of that back and forth and screaming. That's what the left want. And the left bring that to our demos because they know most normal people don't want that. So this is something that we're going to be pushing going forward. We're going to be pushing this peaceful, cooperative movement where all groups can be involved if that is what they want. Now, you know, there is another side to this as well, because some people don't want, you know, what we want. Some people don't want this. Some people don't want what me and Laura are talking about. And I've spoken, you know, to Steve about this. I've spoken to the other lads about this. And this is kind of an important line in the sand. We want to open these demos up. We want to open. I mean, personally, after running Patriotic Alternative for the amount of time that I've run it for, you know, we've been through several different phases. And I want to open Patriotic Alternative up more to the public. I want more normal people to want to come to our events and feel they're able to come to our events. And because we're so blocked on social media, these kind of go out, speak to the public, shake hands with people, give impromptu speeches, they have a big effect. And I also think they recruit more people. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to build a big social media following, but sometimes large social media followings don't necessarily result in, you know, large organic movements, because you feel a little bit distant from people that you've only just seen on social media. But it feels different when you've gone and shook hands with people. It feels different when you've looked people in the eye, when you've seen them at a demonstration, when you've stood in the pub with them, having a drink with them afterwards, when you've, you know, given them a hug and said, you know, goodbye, have a safe journey home, mate. Those little things bring you together. And after PA had the sort of split, myself and Laura, we really came out with where we wanted Patriotic Alternative to be. And beforehand, there was different sort of people within Patriotic Alternative. There was this sort of this thing of, should we go down the political party route, which I think we were right not to go down, or should we go down a different route? And me and Laura have been very, very clear on what we want. We want PA to be community, advocacy, activism. And I think those three things have been achieved. Yesterday felt like community. When we were in the pub, it felt like a family gathering, didn't it? People knew each other. It was very warm. Everyone felt like friends. And seeing groups of people that happy together, being around like-minded people, that's what we mean when we say community. We've also done the advocacy. You know that. We've supported people who are in prison. We've supported the homeless. We've supported families at Christmas. We've done those things. But yesterday was also the activism, taking our message directly to the people and not simply being mouthpieces online. And it is working. Now, obviously, we wish Restore Britain all the best. I wish Rupert Lowe all the best. But I understand that unless you've got the millions of pounds that Rupert Lowe's got, you can't do the political party thing. And I think we've proved that. I think this, you know, debate that's raged for some time over whether we should set up a series of micro parties or whether we should be a street movement and do the community building and other things. I think we've been proved right, because every tiny micro party has essentially been wiped off the map overnight because of what Rupert Lowe's done. And I wish Rupert Lowe all the best, but leave the political party stuff to the people with millions of pounds. We can make a much bigger impact with our small amount of money doing what we did yesterday in Nuneaton and setting, you know, a little town abuzz with what we've done and setting the internet on fire with talk and, you know, videos and things like that. We can do more like that than we ever could, delivering handfuls of leaflets in five different council wards and getting 1.2% and disappointing everyone. So I think this has been really successful. And I'm really sad that Steve actually isn't here tonight, because me and Steve have both talked about this. And I know that now it feels like we're finally getting a sensible, clean, respectful, ethno-nationalist, genuinely ethno-nationalist street movement that we all desire. And it's a way we can all take part in important activism, but without simply wasting our time and being humiliated at the ballot box. You know, everyone there yesterday played a really important part, made a really big noise, and were part of something that I saw one stream that had been seen by 38,000 people. That's a lot of people. 38,000 people watching us take to the streets. Absolutely brilliant. You're not going to get that kind of coverage from standing in half a dozen council wards. In fact, you're probably going to get laughed at. This is where we need to be. And, you know, I hope that the people watching this stream tonight will be in some way inspired. We'll go out and have a look at Steve Laws's Twitter, have a look at the PA Telegram and see the speeches, see the clips of the event. Go out and watch the content creators. I mean, that young Bob was there. He turned up. He did an interview with me. I'm looking forward to seeing that on his YouTube. I hope he puts it up. You better put it up, young Bob. You better. I'm only joking. I'm not really threatening young Bob. It's just a joke. But I hope to see that up there. And I hope to see more people come and cover these events in the future. And by doing it this way, we're sidestepping not only the electoral process, which is so much more expensive and dispiriting and disheartening, but we're also sidestepping the mainstream media. Because when 38,000 people are watching you on one stream alone, you know, we don't need to be covered by the local press. Because I bet you the local press in Nuneaton don't get as many views on their articles as some of these streamers do. I mean, what do you think, Laura? I think we have been vindicated. I mean, obviously, I think you're going to say the same thing as me, but I hope you're going to, I mean, you might add something to it, you might not. But, you know, we were very sure of what we wanted to be after we had the split within PA, after the people left to form a political party, which has now completely failed. But we were very sure of what we want to be, what we wanted to be. And it's taken us a good few years to get here and convince people that this was the right route. But how do you feel now we are on such a roll?
Well, I think, you know, as a nationalist organisation, we obviously have our niche and no one really does what we do. I mean, I just find electoral politics so boring, and all these micro parties now are just kind of shouting into the void because Rupert Lowe has stolen all the energy. And you've got an MP who's been boosted by the richest man in the world, who's posting memes of himself in front of planes with, like, migrants getting onto the planes, and he's, like, laughing at them. And he's saying stuff that we've been saying for such a long time. So, like I say, he's sort of sapped up all the energy at the moment, and I'm glad that we have our niche and we can make progress in the areas that are important to us. And remember, we're suspended as well from all social media platforms, so we do rely on other people to take our message, take our content and share it to a wider audience. And it was very telling, actually, that the press didn't write about us today. Yesterday, I think because there was no counter-protest and they couldn't get, you know, a little snap of someone angrily shouting at a lefty, they just didn't bother to write anything at all, which shows you how dishonest they are. But even without them, like Mark says, you know, there's so many people who turn up and take photos and take video footage and live stream the event, interview people, take the speeches and the photographs afterwards and share them all over social media. And really, they can't do anything to stop us because we've got the connections and there's so many thousands of people out there who are on, you know, the same wavelength as us. It still gets out, you know. Me and Mark are happy to get up onto some pillow in a town hall and shout down the microphone for 10 minutes and do that bit. If other people can, you know, clip it and then get it online, we're happy to say it, but we do need help from other people. And we're lucky that we do have a good set of friends and a good set of colleagues that do that for us.
And I want to add something to what Laura said as well. This is sort of a final point before we're going to wrap things up. We'll take some questions if people want to give us some questions or if people want to ask about anything that, you know, there were a couple of tiny issues yesterday. If people want to ask about them, I'm happy to explain them. If people are not going to bring them up, I'm not going to bring them up. But I want to say this as well. I want to thank everyone who had sort of faith in what me and Laura were trying to do. It's not materialized overnight. It's taken a lot longer to come into fruition than we'd have hoped. It's great to say, look, we're going to be community advocacy activism, but it doesn't happen overnight. And I want to thank everyone who believed in us and everyone who's helped us to get where we've reached with this Nuneaton demo, because it's been a long, hard road. And I think because of everything that's happened, because of the deplatforming, because of the issues that we've faced, we've had to do a lot of legwork to prove to people that we're the real deal. And also there are, without naming any names, there are a lot of grifters adjacent to the ethno-nationalist movement. There are people that take money for things and don't deliver. There are people that promise the earth and walk away as wealthy men without actually giving the people who have funded them what they hoped for. But I think now, you know, I can honestly put my hand on my heart and say we have delivered on community, we have delivered on advocacy, and we have delivered on activism. And when we've raised money for things, when we have received donations, when people have reached out to us and helped us with things like the audio, the sound, the visuals, nobody has taken anybody here for a ride. You know, when we've done these events, we've kept them cheap. You know, everyone knows that our camp's coming up. Well, it's £30 per adult. All children come for free. I don't think any other group in the country offers an entire camping weekend with showers, toilets, and a free barbecue for £30 per adult. Nowhere else can you get away for two nights for 30 quid and your children go for free. You know, when we offer conferences, it's the same value. When we do the fundraisers for the political prisoners, we do not take a penny. That money is not raised through us. It's raised through proper fundraising channels, so it's all transparent. Not a penny goes to our organization. And as you could see yesterday, when we do something like Nuneaton, everything goes towards making it a day that people are proud to attend. So hopefully I've done enough to convince you that when we do something big, whether it's a camp, whether it's a conference, whether it's another event like this, that you can come, you can bring your family, you can bring your wife, bring your kids if you want, and it's going to be a good day, and it's not going to be the slop that other people have served you up. It's going to be genuine, authentic, proper ethno-nationalism. And if you take some time, if you're not 100% convinced with what I've said tonight, please go and view the speeches that were made. Nowhere else will you see people not pulling their punches. Everybody there was proud to be white British, was proud to be Indigenous. Everybody there was saying, this is our nation. Your white lives matter. These things are things that might seem basic to the people watching the stream, but you're not going to hear them at Unite the Kingdom. You know, no disrespect to Paul Golding, you're not going to hear them at a Britain First event. These are the things that you will only hear from us, because we're going to be 100% honest 100% of the time. So if you value that, this is where you can get it. And look, we appreciate every donation. We appreciate people's hard work, but we also appreciate your time. And, you know, as ever, the biggest thank you goes to everybody who turned up yesterday, whether you were a guy in the crowd, whether you're one of the sound guys, the security guys, everybody played their part. And I think if these keep growing, these keep getting bigger, and we keep getting this kind of noise, sooner or later, the mainstream will have to cover us. Sooner or later, somebody like Piers Morgan, one of these big podcasters, they're going to have to say, we're going to have to get somebody on, whether it's Steve Laws, whether it's Mark Collett, whether it's Laura Towler, whether it's Sam Melia. If we keep making the big noise, eventually their supporters, their patrons, their donors are going to start saying, why aren't you guys covering Nuneaton? Why aren't you guys covering Warwick? Why aren't you guys going down and speaking to these people who are pulling large crowds, having demos that don't have any trouble? And they're not asking for 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, 200 grand to put them on, because we're not. That is what counts us out as different and authentic. So please do, if you're not convinced, check the speeches and be with us next time. Laura, do you have anything to add before we do the super chats?
Yeah, I mean, we literally, as individuals and as an organisation, we don't take anything out of the pot. I mean, we don't even expense petrol, do we? We drive there ourselves. We pay for everything ourselves. Me and Mark don't take a salary at Patriotic Alternative. The Political Prisoner Fund, we've got £6,627 left. That's not going to us or PA or anything. It's going to the families of political prisoners. So everything goes on the intended job. But I just wanted to comment on what you said about the speeches and how everyone was just so, like, just on the nose and just so sharp and, like, on the issues and unfiltered, because Sam was the last speaker. And obviously he's been away for 2 years. I think he had a little bit of a panic before he got up, because he was like, oh my God, the conversation has changed so much in the last 2 years. And he was like, you know, everyone's already said, like, way beyond what I was going to say. But he got up there and he spoke about his experience a bit and the free speech issue. And it was brilliant. I mean, obviously I'm biased because I'm married to him, but just hearing from him, someone who's been switched off for 2 years, he's come back and he's like, he was shocked at how unfiltered everything was and where we are, where the dialogue is in this country today, which is obviously a huge white pill.
It wasn't. And look, that was the icing on the cake for me, really, because obviously when I set up PA with Laura, me and Laura became really, really good friends. And when Laura met Sam, these guys feel like they're my family. I love doing everything with them. I love spending time with them. I love it when my family meets their family and we do things together. And seeing Sam come back and seeing the reception he got, like a hero's return, it was absolutely brilliant. But it wasn't just brilliant, it was deserved. What Sam went through was completely unfair, and he dealt with it so well. And to see him come back, to see him with his book, to see people coming up to him and buying copies of the book and being like, Sam, it's great to have you back, or I've already bought your book and I'm halfway through and it's great. No one deserves the respect and admiration like Sam does. Sam really is a hero amongst men, and he carries it so well, and he's so humble with it. And he is the normal guy that got sort of thrust into the limelight, persecuted, but kept his head held high the whole way. And to have him back yesterday, that was just absolutely perfect. And to have him as the last speaker was brilliant. You know, to have, you know, him closing the event, it felt absolutely right. And he carried it perfectly. And, you know, he is a guy that we can all follow. And I don't really know of any other man that I think would do such a good job of shouldering the burden as Sam did. You know, he really is an amazing guy, and we are so lucky to have him as part of PA. Anyway, let's do these super chats. Thank you to everybody who's donated so generously tonight. It means a great deal to us all. Nationless Nationalist, I gave $10. Thank you so much. I'd appreciate your work. I watch the shows on replay. I work long hours too. Well, thank you so much for your continued support. Open Borders for Israel gave $5. Thank you so much. Said amazing work, Mark and PA. Thank you so much. That means a great deal to us. Marty Morosley gave $3. Thank you so much. He said, congratulations on the demonic Nuneaton. And, oh, sorry, the demo in Nuneaton, I think that was meant to say, but it's the autocorrect has got the better of it. The demo in Nuneaton, and welcome back to Sam. Thank you so much. Kenny Smith, obviously not the real Kenny Smith, I gave $25. Thank you so much. He said, I couldn't make it yesterday thanks to a dodgy Friday night takeaway. I was stuck on the loo in a different kind of struggle. Well, thank you for that, Kenny. it was made up, gave $25. Thank you so much. And said, great job. Well done to everyone involved. Thank you very much. Aunt Sally gave $5. Thank you so much. Said, I'm out tonight and we'll watch the replay. PA doing great work. Thank you, Mark, Laura, and Sam, and everyone else that's out there making a difference. Well, thank you so much. Sir Trancelot gave $14. Thank you so much. And he said, my first ever street appearance. I even managed to get my dad to hang around and listen. We had a great time. I wish I could have made the social, but we were short on time. If you're ever in the Tamworth area, I'll be there 100%. The community vibe could be felt absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I want to add something to this super chat. One of the things that I really love about PA and about what we've built is when people do turn up at these events and when we have a social afterwards, it's a really good, wholesome feeling. I walked around the pub at the end and said goodbye and thanked everyone that I saw for coming. And I love doing that because I have been to these nationalist events where people don't leave the pub all day, where a demo's called and everyone sits in the pub getting absolutely hammered. And some don't even make it out to the demo. But this felt so different. And I've said this before about PA events, but they do feel like a family gathering or a wedding celebration or an anniversary. And when we left yesterday, the sun was shining. People were out in the street having a beer. And the warm reception we had from people as we left, honestly, I mean, I know we've got a long way back. We've got to get back for the kids and everything, but it did feel like I wanted to stay longer. How did you feel? Because it was like, it just felt so wonderful. And it wasn't one of those nationalist events where the air was sort of crackling with like tension and people were staring each other down. And I have been to things like that historically. I've been to events where it didn't feel right, but everyone there was so respectful. And when we left, the vibe was one of just absolute, just like in Warwick, the vibe was so good, wasn't it? You feel that anyone who turned up for the day, nobody left with a frown on their face, did they?
No, it felt like, I don't know, like obviously it's not summer, but it felt like a nice summer evening where you could quite happily just sit in a beer garden with your friends and like have a nice cold drink of punch or something and put the world to rights. Yeah, it's like the same sort of feeling as the camp, you know, where you're just like comfortable with people. Yeah, and it's difficult having kids and trying to do this at the same time, because obviously me and Mark had to get back to put our children to bed and that kind of thing, and my sister was looking after my two girls, and obviously Sam was with me so he couldn't help out at home. You do want to stay and like just stay until the last person leaves and chat to everyone and enjoy the whole thing, but when you have kids you can't. But like Mark said, you know, there'll be the camp, so we'll have a full weekend to spend together, and then there's a conference, so we'll have another full weekend to spend together. So yeah, good times ahead.
Thank you. Don't Mind Me 91 gave $20. Thank you so much. So just throwing in some petrol money. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Saxon 141 gave $5. Thank you so much. He said, you guys put on an amazing event. So good to see everyone united. I'm the lad that was in the red HH and Union Jack snood from the MRM Britannia chapter. Well, thank you so much. I remember speaking to you at the beginning. There was two of you. It was really nice to see you there. So thank you for being there. And I certainly do remember you. Hazelnut 3000 gave $10. Thank you so much. And said, sounds like a really great day. Well, it certainly was. And Dropped Penny gave $20. Thank you so much. And said, is it acknowledged that whilst the boat thing is unacceptable, by far the greater migrant problem is our government of occupations, legal migration? Sorry if I missed the comment on this point. Well, what I want to say is everybody who comes and speaks on different things. So my speech was about the fact that people are coming here, they're abusing our girls, and the fundamental response should be community, it should be in-group preference, it should be we should be building a movement that says white lives matter, and we shouldn't be scared of being called a racist, because every other group advocates for themselves, and the reason we're in this mess is that we don't. And I was very clear on that, but different people spoke about different things. So when we're there, we're not all going to make the same speech. So if I got up there and said, look, remigration now, this country needs to be at least 95% white British, we need to deal with every kind of migration, people would cheer. But I know that's what Steve's going to say, because Steve is basically Mr. Remigration. So I'm not going to sort of metaphorically screw Steve by saying Steve's speech, then letting him get up and go, yeah, what Mark said, but total remigration. And then Sam gets up and he's like, yeah, what Mark and Steve said, but total remigration. So Laura speaks about what she wants to speak about, and she ties all the speeches together and introduces people. Like, young Harry got up and made a very powerful, almost Mosleyite speech. I got up and spoke about what I was going to speak about. Steve got up and spoke about remigration and the threat of all migrants coming here and us becoming a minority. Sam got up and started talking about freedom of speech. And because of that, the event is a lot richer. Now, look, I don't speak all over the world anymore because I'm banned, but I used to travel all over the world to multiple locations every year. I've spoken at meetings in America. I've spoken at meetings all over Europe. And I'm very proud to have done all that. But when you're going to speak somewhere, your big fear is always that another speaker is going to make your points before you get up. Now, obviously, if I go to somewhere like Finland and I talk about the demography of the United Kingdom, I'm pretty sure no one else is going to talk about that because I'm the only British speaker. But when you come to a demo like this, it is nerve-wracking, especially for first-time speakers, that they're going to get up and, you know, I'm going to get up before them, say everything that they wanted to say, and they're just going to be like looking through their notes and their heart's going to be in their mouth thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? And it's why we let the younger speakers come up first so that they can get their speech out and they have their say. And then if somebody says the same thing I'm going to say, because I'm sort of a more seasoned, without being big-headed, I've been doing this 26 years, I can always work on the fly and work around what other people have said. And the main speakers kind of know what they're going to do. So I know that Steve Laws is going to be the Mr. 100%. They've all got to go. I know that Sam was going to talk about freedom of speech because it was his kind of like get out of jail, you know, first time back on the street speech. So none of us are ignoring the big issue. And the big issue is that we're being replaced. And if you look at replacement, the primary motor of replacement is legal migration. And no one said that as much as me. So when it comes to people in the UK who've made what is the harder point to make, and the harder point to make is always that it's the legals. And this is the thing why we're in constant warfare with people like Tommy Robinson, because Tommy Robinson's like, the legals aren't the problem. It's just some of the Muslims and the illegals. And we're saying, no, it's not. We don't care if a million Indians turn up on small boats or a million Indians turn up on planes with passports and have got jobs when they arrive here. We don't want a million Indians coming to Britain. And I also understand that in the worst year for immigration, Boris Johnson oversaw 900, I think it's 903,000 people arriving here legally. And in that same calendar year, in that same 12 months, around 50,000 at most illegal immigrants came here. So obviously legal immigration is worse by a huge magnitude. And I understand that. But you've also got to factor in what the public want to hear. And the primary reason for calling this demonstration was because a 12-year-old girl had been brutally raped by an Afghan migrant who had only been in the country for, well, it was less than 4 months. I don't know exactly how long, but the papers have all reported less than 4 months. Now, if I get up on the stage in front of people from Nuneaton, people who were there to hear about this topic, you've also got to be on point, because people are there wanting an immediate solution to the small boats, to housing them in hotels or HMOs. People are there because they want you to talk about this pressing problem. Now, I understand exactly that demography is the big issue. But if somebody came to this event and they liked everything that was heard, they would have heard that. But also, they could then go to the PA website or the Remigration Now website. They could then speak to the young lads from White Vanguard or talk to other people who are present, veterans of the movement, people like, you know, Joe Marsh, you know, one of our organisers, people like Sam. You know, our West Mids organiser was there, our South East organiser was there, our London organiser was there, our East Mids organiser was there. People were there. There's probably some I've forgotten as well. And if I have, I've forgotten one of our regional organisers there, I apologise. But we had all those ROs there that people could speak to and get involved. If anyone had said, well, what's Mark's position on legal and illegal, people would have told them that. But we do have to balance this. And there really isn't any mileage in us all saying exactly the same thing. And also, we do have to tailor it to what the people in that town want to hear. But I don't think anyone left. If you listen to my speech, it was only about 5 or 6 minutes long. But if you were new to nationalism, or if you'd never been to a nationalist demo, or if you'd only ever been to a Tommy Robinson demo, I don't think anyone who attended ours would say, I've heard a speech like that before. And that's the important thing. We talk about race. We talk about ethnicity. We talk about becoming a minority. And no one else is doing that. And yes, we do talk about the problem of legal immigration, but not every speaker is saying the same thing. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Laura, but we do hear that sometimes, don't we? Like, one of the things that we see in the Telegram comments is, why doesn't any of the leaflets say, what about the legal migrants? But you know,
well, there's a focus of the demo, and like I said, you know, we chose Nuneaton because of what happened there. We were outraged by it. We've got activists who live close by who were outraged by it. And when we do these demos, I always speak first because I introduce who we are, and then I talk about what's happened in the area. But I finish my speech by saying, I've spoken about asylum seekers, small boats, and illegal migration. But you're going to hear speeches today that build on that and talk about other issues that are going on in the country. So like you said, Sam spoke about free speech. Mark spoke more about the current demographic stats of the country and why that's a bad thing. Steve does his whole, you know, everyone must go spiel that he does every time that we love. and everyone else gave their own angle. So even though the poster will advertise the issue why we're there, that doesn't mean that that's our only opinion. You know, we can give speeches about what's going on in the Middle East as well, if you want. It doesn't mean that we don't care about that. So yeah, obviously, I do. One of the things I'm really proud about with Patriotic Alternative is I do feel like we've been consistent from the start. I don't feel like we've ever cooked or compromised on any of our beliefs, and I don't feel like we've ever taken the easy route. I feel like we've always told the truth. People who criticise us, they never criticise us ideologically. It's always usually, you know, something personal or a lie, but it's never, oh, Mark's a bit weak on this, or Laura's a bit weak on that. And that is something that I am really proud of with our organisation.
Well, thank you. Larry Fink ate my retirement fund, gave me $25. Thank you so much. He said, not sure if it's just where I live, but the increased level of hostility and disrespect I'm noticing are younger members of our new friends is hard not to notice. I agree. I mean, one thing I have seen with young migrants is they are far more hostile towards white people than they used to be. Now, when I grew up, I actually saw that to a degree in places like Leicester. And that was where white people were more of a minority. But when you went to places like, say, at Leeds, when I moved to Leeds, and Leeds was then an overwhelmingly white city, many of the migrants weren't sort of as openly hostile because they were a very small minority in most parts of the city. But I think one of the issues, or I think we're seeing two issues here. The first is, as they grow greater in number, they don't have to be nice anymore because they don't rely on us for things. They don't have to be our friends. They have their own communities that they can retire to or retreat to. And they can openly show their contempt much more freely. But I think the other thing that's taken place over the last 20, 25 years is a massive ramping up of the anti-white rhetoric. So not only are there more of these people, so they're stronger in number, they feel safer being more abusive towards us, but they are being told that it is actually completely right and morally correct to hate us. I mean, what do you think about that, Laura? Do you feel that there is a rising tide of resentment from younger members of ethnic minority communities?
Well, they've grown up with it, haven't they? It's not just they've come to this country, they had to pretend to be grateful for a period of time, and now the demographics have increased. I think it's been there present throughout their whole lives. I mean, I'm just sick of them whinging. Don't they just whinge all the time about everything? They've got this massive chip on the shoulder, victim mentality. Nothing's good enough for them. Go home then. If we're so bad, if you don't like it, go back to Africa. Sick of you all moaning all the time. I don't really have anything else to add. Just
other one thing, I do.
Wrong. Everything that we do is wrong. And it's like, if we're so bad, just go home. You don't have to stay.
Look, I actually do have something to add to this. I actually do have something to add to this, okay? I've noticed how people stare you down more now. There's this thing where if you walk past a group of young migrant men, there is a greater likelihood than ever before that they will stare you down, that they will make you feel uncomfortable. And I do blame a large degree of this. Some of it is them, but some of it is also what they've been taught by the media. These people get here and they're not taught or told, look, be grateful to the indigenous population. They're told the indigenous population owe you something. They've been terrible to your ancestors. And there's also the other issue that you cannot deny, that some of the people coming here will despise Western countries because Western countries have been bombing Islamic nations on behalf of Israel for sort of the last 20, 25 years. So there's so many things wrong with all of this. And the only way to fix the problem is to get rid of these people. The only way to fix this problem is to stop them coming in and to remove the ones who are here. Because you can see this is only going in one direction. It's going in a direction that will lead to more anti-white violence, to more young white British girls being preyed upon and sexually abused. And eventually, as we get further and further down the road towards being a minority, and as more towns and cities flip over that 50% line, I think we are going to be victimized at an increasing rate. And one thing I did say in my speech yesterday, and I always think this is an important point, is if all of this is happening to us now, when we're 70% of the population, what's it going to be like when we're 60%, 55%, 49%, 40%? Because I can tell you this now, I felt quite at ease walking around Nuneaton yesterday. A lot more than I do when I go to places like London or Bradford or Luton or Birmingham. But what's it going to be like when every city is London, Birmingham, Luton or Leicester? And I think this is a really important point. This is why we need to push this hard line, but we can't just stop immigration. We have to fundamentally reverse it and make a big change to the way this country is structured, because otherwise we're not just going to be a minority. We're going to be a hated minority. It's as simple as that. Do you want to add anything, Laura, or shall I move on?
Well, I'm just going to say that I'm sick of our people that pander to him as well. And, you know, say stuff like, oh, you can't say this, you can't do that. You can't cook jerk chicken because it's cultural appropriation. Look, they're appropriating our entire civilization by being here. And it's like you're walking on eggshells, afraid to say anything, afraid to do anything. And I'm on a roll now. But I'm sick of our people that make them think that it's acceptable to do that as well. We just need to say, no, I'm not entertaining this. If you're unhappy, please leave. That's the only reason.
Also, I want to make a point about what Laura said. I don't actually like jerk chicken that much. I don't think it's that great. You know, when people say, like, you can't eat our food, it's like, look, if I'm going to eat any foreign food, it's going to be something like Thai, which is a delicate balance of different flavors and multiple types of meat on the same plate, perfectly balanced with, you know, fragrant rice. I don't want a piece of, like, charred chicken. With
awesome. I like Japanese food.
Yeah, but yeah. There's my anger with, like, you can't eat a jerk chicken. Well, take it back then. I didn't want to eat it in the first place. God. Right. We've got one last super chat from Phoenix National. Thank you so much. You gave $5 and said, thank you for yesterday. It was a perfect demo for my first time. And though the reasons we were all there were extremely serious, being able to meet so many great people was genuinely uplifting. Well, thank you. That is a lovely super chat. And I want to say this. That super chat sums up perfectly the mood that was there yesterday. We were there for serious issues. We were there because terrible things are happening and have happened to our people. We were there because our people are being replaced. And all these things are the most serious reasons to be involved in politics. You know, if there ever was a time to be involved in nationalist politics, it is now. But that super chatter summed things up perfectly. Despite the gravity of the situation, being able to spend a day in the sunshine, talking freely amongst like-minded people who are part of your racial extended family, it is special. And nobody else is doing it like we're doing it. PA, Remigration Now, White Vanguard, the other groups that supported us, building this family is so important. Being part of this community is important. And we've said since day one, all power, no matter how you cut it, all power flows from one thing. It flows from community. As isolated, atomized individuals, we have no power. You're just a lone voice. But once you have that community and your voice is magnified and multiplied and it's amplified and everyone can hear you and see you, you then are heard. And we are starting to build that. Laura, do you have anything to add? We have one more super chat as well. We just had another one come in.
Just you have to be able to offer people something more than just complaining about issues. And I think, you know, at Patriotic Alternative, hopefully we can offer people a community where you'll be around like-minded people who care about the things that you care about. But then also there's a way to become active as well by following the advocacy or activism routes of our organisation. And you can get instant responses there by offering homeless people food, or by cleaning up local areas, or by you know, getting migrant hotels shut down, as we have done in the past, or drag queen story hour events cancelled, as we have done in the past. So yeah, I just think like various people have said already, even though it's a negative issue, you know, there's something positive in the response to it.
Thank you. And Larry Fink ate my retirement fund gave another $20. Thank you for your generosity tonight. He said, all politics is identity politics, one fighting collectivity against others. We might pretend we are friends with the whole world, but that doesn't mean politics has ended. It means we have ended, and other groups will happily take power from us. And that's a perfect way to end. If we're not out on the streets, if we're not acting as a collective, if we're not willing to defend our community, we will be no more. And the others who do those things will take our country and everything we hold dear from us. So please, please, as a final plea, if you enjoyed tonight, if you enjoyed the weekend, make sure you're there in the future for the next one. Now, if you want to be involved in the next demo is going to be something a little different. So please email me, get in touch with PA, get in touch with White Vanguard, get in touch with Steve Laws, get in touch with Remigration Now. If you want to be at the next event, sign up and you will get a notification about what we're doing. It's going to be a little bit different. We're not just going to keep doing the same thing again and again. Please get in touch and be part of it, because I can tell you now, you don't want to miss what we're going to do next. Laura, have the last word and we'll shut it down.
Just enjoy what's left of your weekend. And if I don't see you before, I hope you all have a lovely Easter next weekend. And yeah, take care and get involved. And also, if you don't want to come to the demo, if that's not your thing, we've got our summer camp coming up. Lots of families there. Me, Sam and our children will be there. There's usually a few dozen kids. So if you've got kids as well, don't feel like it's not a good environment for them, because it is. There'll be lots of activities and stuff. And it's always good to connect with more families who have the same ethos and values as us. So yeah, take care, everyone. Thanks for being here. And massive thank you to everyone who played their part yesterday.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you to Laura. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously. Thank you to everyone who supported the stream financially. And thank you to everyone who tuned in. If you enjoyed this and you want other people to see it, please share it at any time. And thank you again to everyone who turned up yesterday and to everyone who made yesterday such a resounding success. It really was a landmark event. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend, what's ever left of it. Enjoy your Easter break. And I'll see you all again soon. I'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, have a great night. Thank you.